Well, when I came to a camp and on Friday and I saw Brother Jay, I walked over and I said to him, I said, Jay, anybody got anything from Ezra? He goes, no. So up comes big, well, I'm safe. And then at the end, he started talking about Ezra and I went, oh, no. Here we go. And sure enough, right at the end, I don't see, oh, there he is. Yeah. Right near the end, he hits my verse that I'm going to work off of today, and that's Ezra 7:10. So he gave me a nice introduction. He didn't trample all over. He just did a quick two-step, stepped away. So I've still got some room to work with it, I think. And so we're going to start there. But so you can turn there. I'm getting ready to turn there too. But there's another verse I want to take a quick look at. That's going to be an introductory verse. And I'm just going to read it for you. It's out of Malachi. Malachi is a pretty negative book overall because, this is after the temple got rebuilt and the walls got put up, rebuilt as Brother Stan was mentioning under Nehemiah. And then the people, again, as again Stan mentioned in his message yesterday, they're constantly falling into idolatry. The priests have pretty much abandoned what they were called to do. And so God's, sends a messenger, Malachi. That's what his name means. And he's kind of getting on about what they're not doing right. But in the chapter 2 of Malachi, there's a few verses that are kind of positive. And he's talking about the covenant that he made with Levi, the tribe from which the priest came. And in verse 7, there's a great statement here. This is a great verse for you, Stan. You can put this right in, if you got your pen with you this morning, you can put GV, okay? It says, in verse 7, it says, "For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Brethren, that we know that's us, amen? That is us. Preserve knowledge. So what are we doing at camps? What are we doing at assemblies? What are you doing when you're with individuals in private, homes, Bible study, and you're preserving knowledge. And people should want to seek knowledge from you, if your example is right. So let's go to Ezra 7. We're going to read a few verses up to 10, just to grab a little background. We're going to begin in verse 6, but again, verse 10 is where we're going to work. Verse 6 of Ezra 7 says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all he requested because the hand of the Lord God was upon him. Some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. He came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king, for on the 1st of the 1st month he began to go up from Babylon, and on the 1st of the 5th month he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." Now, I'm going to ask a young man that's become a dear brother in Christ to come up here and pray for this message this morning. And I just want exhort you guys. These gatherings are where you can create friendships outside of your individual congregation. Spanish Peaks, Montana Family Camp, Ladies Advance, all these things I think we understand. This is a young man that I thought I only met him about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm like, Jay, I'm getting a little older. I know I don't look it, thank you. But anyway, he said, it was actually about 2005 when we met. But from the first time that we met, I remember we stayed up late, and I'm a guy about, 10 o'clock most nights. I'm like the old China doll, the eyes roll up, two back I go. It's over. But we stayed up real late talking, and he always had great questions and great encouragement to me. And I love you, brother. And I am going to miss you. Because his wife is taking him away to Ohio. Boo. Right? So, and Nettie, I love you too. I'm a little mad at you. I'll get over it. Okay? But, so I'm going to ask Mike Klaus and those of you that don't know what Mike's last name means, it means nail, am I right, Mike, in German? Or close? So here comes 16 Penny to pray for this message.
I Yeah, we met at Spanish Peaks. It wasn't a ladies' advance. Just so you know, yeah. Lord Jesus, we thank you very much for the opportunity to gather together in fellowship and studying your word. Lord, I ask that you give Kevin the grace he needs to speak clearly and encouragingly. And I pray that our faith will be built because of the work that he's put into this message. And Father, I pray that as saints, we will continue to make the most of every opportunity to gather together while we still have the time. In your name, we give thanks. Amen.
Thank you. All you guys learn these lessons. Look what happens when your guy that you asked to pray for you comes up and has to. Okay. Appreciate you, Mike. I'm a little mad at you now, too. Okay. Let's go to my text. I'm going to get out a few notes here, which I will promptly ignore. And let's start working our message. Ezra 7. Ezra is a priest, right? He's a scribe. Now, look, some of you may be asking yourself, what does a scribe got anything to do with me? You know, now we read where it said he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. You know, I remember reading through the gospel accounts, and I remember reading about scribes, and I remember our Lord didn't have a lot of good things to say to scribes. I thought, wow. Well, here's a scribe that's spoken of well, but there's something that you may have missed in the New Testament spoken about you. And, you know, Brother Luke was working in Matthew 13. So let's just real quick, let's rear on over to Matthew 13 for a moment. Let's take a look at a verse. And this is after he expounded upon all those parables. And I found it really interesting that this is where this is placed. I just got to share it with you guys, because it excites me. This is a positive statement about a scribe, and it's talking about you. Matthew 13, after he lays all the parables out, last one being the dragnet, says in verse 51, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes." I'm not sure it was a confident yes, but yes. And Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven." Who's he talking about? You. You're a scribe. So Ezra is a foreshadow of you. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody's with me this morning. Every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things. Here's an interesting statement. New and old. New and old. So some people have said to me, I have noticed with you, Kevin, that you spend a lot of time preaching out of the Old Testament. Well, that was all preparatory information for our benefit, number one. And I think it's pretty important because Jesus said, every scribe who is a disciple of the kingdom of heaven brings forth that both out of old and new. I'm convinced he was talking about all the scripture as a whole. But you need to be able to go back to the old, you know, and help people understand that from the perspective of the new. We know that's the right way to do this and to view it. But brethren, way too many of those in the assemblies that I've gone into, and I'm not talking specifically about Montana, but many people are fairly ignorant of the Old Testament and the tremendous value that it serves. When you have the proper understanding of the new and you look back, it will help you to understand without a shadow of a doubt, this plan has always been about you. And it will excite you that Israel was nothing more than the, if you want to use the term that the premillennialists use, they were the stopgap. You're the real deal. They were the stopgap. So I understand that. And I preach and teach it. I mean, I have worked on it, and Brother William Sweeney asked me this morning, he says, Kevin, so are we going to go to Hebrews 12:22 this morning? I said, William, you know if I can veer there, I'm going to. And so, let's get it out of the way early. Okay? Hebrews 12:22-24, you read those verses, brother, where it talks about you have come to Mount Zion. to Jerusalem, you know, the city of Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. And you go back and you read all those prophecies, specifically the ones by the prophets that were in reference to looking beyond the captivity and the return of the righteous, faithful remnant. It's about you. Every one of them. Every one of them. Deliverers will ascend Mount Zion. Then they're going to go out of Mount Zion. Who's that? It says you have come. You got your ambassador's pass, according to 2 Corinthians 5:20, and you're down off of that mountain. You're here on earth and you're doing your work. Amen? So that's who we are. So Ezra was a scribe, skilled in law of Moses. You're a scribe of the kingdom of heaven. We are extolled. We are exhorted. We are encouraged to be skilled in the Word of God. You should be able to sit down with people and be able to transfer this information readily. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Is God asking you to do something unusual? No. I stand up here and do this. Every one of you should be able to duplicate what I'm doing. And a guy 40 years ago, figured that out and helped write some books so we could do it. The Honorable, Esteemed, Almighty. No, I'm just kidding. I love Brother Jay because what he's provided for me. I don't know about you guys. But all this information he's put together and helped me then to, you know, accrue and then be able to share it with others. I love Bible study. And how about you guys? Now I want to ask you a question. Do you love personal, private Bible study? I'm talking about you. Nobody there but you and the good Lord and your snoot in the Word. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Ezra was involved in the rebuilding of the people. As has been mentioned, Haggai, Zerubbabel, you know, they come in there, and Zechariah, they are exhorting the people to rebuild the temple, and they get the temple rebuilt. But the people still need to be restored. So Ezra says, I'm going to study this word, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get the people on the right path. You know, there was a movement that most of us are familiar with that started in the early 1800s of this country called the Restoration Movement. And what was that all about? It was to restore everything back to the biblical pattern, wasn't it? It was guys that became skilled in studying the Word of God. They said, we need to abandon all this other stuff, get back to the pattern that's in the Word of God. So again, I want you to understand as we go through this, brethren, every time you read about a character in the Old Testament, it is so you will understand this is who you are. You take their attributes, you take that, and you build your faith picture, and you push forward with that. Look, Jesus said, anyone that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John, who was the greatest of the Old Testament. So Ezra was below John, wasn't he? We can be greater than Ezra, according to Jesus. I want to ask this question. I ask everybody whenever I teach anything, do you believe it? That's the question. That means, what is your faith picture? Do you believe it? I do. I believe it about all of you that are in Christ. I believe all of us can do this. You can set your heart to study the law of the Lord. Hey, by the way, where did Ezra do this? He was in a place called Babylon. You know, New Testament, Book of Revelation. You know, was mentioned last night by Brother Luke and by others. You know, there's a place that's used in that Book of Revelation called Babylon. Now, some people got to understand that Babylon's got a lot of distractions. I still remember Brother Steve Doty, one of the first messages I heard him preach, and he was talking about how, you know, one of the tools, one of the schemes of the devil, brethren, is distraction, deception. Okay? He's the greatest magician of all. But I remember Brother Steve saying, you know, he's trying to get you to look over. He's like, over here, pilgrim. Over here, pilgrim. You know? And I can't remember if that was at Lukuk or if it was, maybe that was at Lukuk. And so I think it's the same message where he talked about unscrewing his eyeballs when he went into a fire because he couldn't see anyway because the smoke was so. He's got great stories. I have none of them like that. I just don't. You know, and I tease my, now this is where I take my shot at my father-in-law, or my daughter's father-in-law. Later on in his message, that's going to leave a mark on me. Okay, look, I love Mike Carver. I do. Big Mike's a great guy. But I always tease him when I get the opportunity to introduce him. Last year, if you guys were here when I had him come up and pray for my message, I told him he's the best father-in-law my daughter could have. And, you know, really, he is. He is. But I tease him, and I always say, except for Steve Doty, you know. So I love Steve Doty's preaching, and I love my, and all you guys have built my faith with some of your messages that you brought. I always appreciate Jerry's message at Peaks about hitting that golf ball, how far we can hit it, and Jesus carries it even further. I remember messages. You guys remember messages. See, Ezra's got his nose in the book, and he's remembering these things that have been written. And he says, I want to study this. I'm going to set my heart. My purpose in my life, I get up first thing in the morning, my nose is in the book, not the newspaper. My nose is in the book, not in my computer on the internet. Where's your nose in the morning? If your kids get up early and come out, you know, and you got young ones or maybe a granddaughter or grandson, come out, they're rubbing their eyes, would they find Papa watching the Sports Center? Or do they find Papa going, oh, how are you, Zach? You know, where do they find you? Early in the morning. Ezra was found in the Word of God. That's where we want to be found. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So again, he learned this while he was in Babylon. There were distractions. He fixed his focus, didn't he? He renewed his mind. He set his mind, as was mentioned by Brother Nick yesterday morning. So you got to set it. So this Hebrew word for set, I like word studies. Most of you guys have figured that out over the years. But this Hebrew word for set or is the word, I'm going to mispronounce it, but I think it's kaun, which means literally to be erect and set upright. So here's what I have. I picture Ezra as a pillar. Now, I wrote this before I saw this. A pillar driven deep into the sturdy soil of the Word of God. That's what I see. Do you guys notice what this says back here? You can't read. It says, Family Camp 2012. I want to make sure you got the year right. Okay. The household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. Now, how do you suppose you're going to be a pillar in the temple of God? You're going to have to set yourself erect, straight up in the Word of God, aren't you? That's where the Word of truth is. So, if you set yourself to study the Word of God, brethren, you're not going to be tossed about by every word of doctrine, every wind of doctrine, every word of deception, all that stuff. We know when Stan talked yesterday about Nehemiah, when Nehemiah came in, everything went just smooth as creamy butter, right? No way. There were opponents. There was resistance. There were deceivers. Right? There's going to be the case out there. This isn't going to be smooth as butter. I don't know about you, but one of the most frustrating personal study. No, well, it was a Bible study, quote unquote. My wife was there with me. With a couple from Great Falls that had left Great Falls, part of a group that left Great Falls, because they said nobody up there was interested in truth anymore. These guys were, I mean, you want to talk about under law. And I got into this study, and I tried to start looking at how the New Testament defined worship. This guy's mind went, click, if I let him do this, I'm in trouble. He made that calculation very rapidly. And you want to talk about rabbit shooters. I spent the next most unproductive 3.5 hours, I think it was, if I remember right, Kath, about three and a half hours, of chasing things with this guy. He was worse than any unbeliever I'd ever Bible studied with. And he claimed to be a Christian. And he was terrified to let the New Testament define worship because he had it figured out what worship was. Now, let me tell you how screwy this was, brethren. His wife could teach Sunday school because they weren't yet worshiping. She could teach Sunday school mixed men and women. What does the Bible say, according to Paul? Women are not to exercise authority over men, and I do not allow a woman to teach a man. Now, that's obviously assembly-type talk. So they had nice and dandily cut that thing so clean that, well, we're not worshiping yet, so she says, I can do that. But these are people that the Word of God is infallible, unchangeable. And I'm like, you want to talk about a blinder going over people that are under the law. You read that stuff in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, brethren. I've seen it. I know Jay is. I've seen it. That veil is over their eyes. They claim to be believing, but they're unbelieving. They're doing things that are just unbelievable. I'm telling you. This is how crazy people get with the Word of God. You know, you've seen it. I mean, Mark gave us an example last night. See here? Oh, I was hoping that I didn't see you. Can it, huh? I got it. Can it. Bottle it, buddy. Okay? All right, here we go. What makes us useful and fruitful to the Lord? What makes us useful and fruitful to the Lord? You know that passage in 2 Peter. It goes on and tells you about this stairway. I've heard the spokes in a tire. I've heard all these different things that are spoken in reference to that. But continual growth. I think it was you, Brother Luke. I think it was you that said, if you're not growing, you're dying. Didn't you say that last night? Brother, that's true. That's true. So if you ever find yourself thinking, well, you know, I think I know pretty much everything the Bible has to say, and you know, there's nothing new or novel about it anymore, you're in danger. You don't know everything. How many years have you been doing this? J40, right? You think you found everything that's in the Bible? This thing is so deep. I don't believe that in my life I'm ever going to get it all. I don't. It is so deep, so intertwined, so cool. You can look at this from so many areas of the Word of God. It's incredible. I enjoy teaching it. I don't know about you guys. I enjoy teaching. We're going to get to that later. But you've got to first get your nose in the book. You've got to get that information. Now, where are you going to get that information? Personal, private, study time. We've talked about that. But the assemblies, brethren. And that's been hammered already this weekend. How important to you are the assemblies? People's presence in the assembly tells me a lot. Tells me a lot. If they're hit and miss, I usually know they're having a little trouble. If they're consistent, I know that they're going to be in good shape. But if they're once a weeker, I just keep thinking of the old thing. How could you eat once a week and survive? You just can't. And they think they can gorge, you know, once a week. You know, make the big commitment. I'm going to hit Bible study too and assembly. Ooh. You know, wow, brother, you want me to burp you? You know, you look a little full there. You know, it's crazy what people think. So I'm here to encourage you. Set your hearts to study the Word of God. Be skilled in the Word of God. I think that it says in the letter of the Hebrews that by this time some of you should be teachers. Maybe that applies to some of you. I don't know. But we all need to get to that position. Amen. We need to be teachers. We need to be skilled in the Word of God. All right? Now, I want to backtrack for a minute. I went over something I wanted to talk about, and it's typical of me to veer all over the place in my messages. Keeps you guys awake. Plus, you never know who I'm going to get on next, right? So, my next victim. But Ezra, do you know what Ezra's name means? It comes from a Hebrew word. The root means aid or help. Ezra's name means helper. Now, I thought about this. I thought, helper. Adam was created, right? Was he complete? God says, no. To make this thing very good, he had to have a helper, didn't he? It was good. Oh, when he got done and he had the helper, then everything was very good. His name means helper. I find that amazing. And I think about Christ and His church. Christ by Himself, I think He could be sufficient. We could plead the case. But I think it's pretty clear the Scripture is trying to communicate to us He needs a helper, doesn't He? Adam needed one. He needed the bride. Christ needs one, right? Bride, church, isn't that what church, one of the names, characteristic names of the church? Bride, you faithful bride? Helper. Found that amazing. That's what His name means. God needs helpers. Our Lord needs helpers to get this done. Why study the Word of God? Well, I'm going to tell you right now Pretty simple. Hosea made it clear for us what happened to the people of God. The priests were entrusted with teaching the people. The priests were entrusted with teaching the king. That scroll had to be written by the king, and the priests are right there making sure the king's writing it out correctly. And Hosea said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Uh-oh, hold on. Do, 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 do. Power in the mic. Would you give two batteries to continue your sermon? There's power in the wonderful mic. Okay, here we go. Hey, guys, I read the scripture and it says we rejoice. Can't we have a little fun? No, we're not going into a spiritual song. My voice is not good this morning. It'll be really bad. Okay, now, where was I at? I completely... Bob? Okay. Oh, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he said, if the priests don't do this, you're in trouble, priests. That's back in Hosea 4. So just read the context and the rest of that verse. What it's all about. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So in Billings, when I have the opportunity to teach and preach, and I've noticed that's gotten less and less, but when I have that opportunity... You want to know who makes out the roster? Moi. Okay? So, anyway, and that's because we're doing what we're supposed to do. Aren't we supposed to entrust these things to faithful men who will teach others also? This isn't the Luke and Kevin show in Billing. It isn't. It's about getting these guys raised up so that they can teach others also. Right? When we get together in Billings, you guys know my themes. Most of you guys that are around me know my themes. Know Jesus, know who you are in Jesus, know your purpose, right? But I also make sure they understand what's the purpose of the assembly. It's to be equipped for the work of service. And I always remind them of this. You spell service one of two ways. The mega church spells it this way. S-E-R-V-E-U-S. They're looking out and going, the congregation's saying to the pastoral staff, serve us, right? What does the scripture say? Work of service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E. We are to serve the Lord and His needs, not our needs. Amen? Okay, so we got that now. So put your nose in the Word. Study that Word of the Lord. Because there's lots of things that need to be done yet in the church. And lots of folks need to be equipped for the work of service. That's what it's all about. Jesus said, my food, to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. I pray and I hope if I have a tombstone, I don't know if I'll have a tombstone. Depends on how things go when I pass the relationship between my wife and I. I might be in a little mason jar and, you know, ashes and she'll into the garbage can. You know, I don't know. If I don't treat her right, that could be my destination. You know, it'd be nice if my kids are around and I've treated them right and raised them up right and they love Dad for the right reasons, not because he's Mr. Wallet, you know, ka-ching, here, Dad, ka-ching, you know, Dad, the ATM, here he comes, you know. If I do it right, that they'll put a headstone up, what I want on it, and I'm serious when I say this, I'd like it to say, Kevin Simpson, he fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. Can you think of any better epitaph to be said about you? Said about David. David's a great example. Did David do everything perfectly? No. But David got things fixed and went forward, didn't he? So if you've had a failure or two in your life, don't let that get you down. And don't let anybody keep you down. Get back up, get going. Fulfill the purpose of God in this your generation. Brethren, I'd like to think in my generation, the Lord's coming back. You know, we can hasten that day. Brother Steve has made that point in many messages. Jesus' return is not so much time-specific, it is event-specific. How bad you want to go home is going to determine how much you put your nose in this and study it. And then it's also going to be determined by how much you are willing to practice it. Now, I Bible study with people, and I've been in a newer Bible study with some folks. I'm just going to give them give the first names. It's Chris, and then Chris's sister Jennifer, and Jennifer's husband Jason. And then Jason's mom is there, and to this day I really don't remember her name. I just call her Mom. But there's four of them, and we've been studying. And I've been giving them all this information, you know, and they think, whoa, this guy's an awesome teacher. You know, and they're very nice. They say nice things. You know, and I slip them videos that are available. And I pass all this information on. The Bible's got great information, doesn't it? Did it go dead in here? Hello, hello. The Bible's got great information, doesn't it? But Ezra understood the Bible wasn't just informational. It was designed to be transformational. And that's the reason you do these things. You're going to transfer somebody's heritage out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Ta-da-ta-da. Right? That's what you're doing. That is what we do. It's information that's transformational. That's why you teach it. And if you can teach it with a little bit of, you know, fun and interest and little tidbits of information, and you can communicate effectively, people are going to be sitting on the edge of their seat. And they're going to thank you for showing up at their house. Unlike some of the assemblies where... Yeah. And then they come up, oh, it's powerful preaching, man. Now I understand people can get really tired and go to sleep in the assembly. I understand that. I'm not really picking on anybody. But brethren, man, when somebody gets up to preach, you know, other than me, I know I'm a distraction. But when somebody gets up here to preach, I listen. I remember messages. I remember specific terminology. Do you?
Romans 2.
That's right. See, somebody listen. And somebody says, oh, God's chosen people are the Jews. Do you argue? I don't. I say, you're absolutely right. The Jews are God's people. Here's the question. Who did you? You did you, according to Romans 2. And of course they go, start blinking like a bullfrog in a thunderstorm. What did you say? You know? You got to have fun, you know? Romanator. You know? Are you a Romanator?
Yes.
You should be. If you got the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, you're a Romanator. That's greater than the Terminator. You know, because Jesus said to you, the Romanator, I'll be back. See? We said. So get your nose in the book. Study the law of the Lord. For us, it's the law of liberty, isn't it? So what do we teach people when they come? Well, what do I do? What do I do? I tell them very simply, to the pure, all things are pure. By the way, brethren, that settles the instrument issue right there. Do we need to go any further, really? To the pure, all things. And I looked for that parenthetical statement. I can't find it, Jay. It doesn't say, except the piano. I can't find it. To the pure, all things are pure. Doesn't matter. When you do it. Oh, I got to mention that couple that we spent the 3.5 hours studying with. He had a guitar that he would strum and play, but he would never sing a word that would glorify God. Oh, no, that would be bad. Crazy how people think and get trapped in that. Gosh, I can't believe it. But brethren, let's go to something else. Let's get off of that. Study. Practice. Information should be transformational. People should meet you that knew you before Christ, B.C. We all have a B.C. and an A.D. in the year of our Lord, right? And they should see you and they should go, what happened to you? I remember a guy that I used to work with when I was selling furniture. He came in with his wife and we're talking about furniture, and there's this, you know, a young lady goes by that's immodestly dressed, you know, and this is summertime, I'm selling furniture. And his head swivels around so fast, I thought it was going to break his neck. And he starts talking about this young lady in the presence of his wife. And I'm like, I'm not going to say his name. I said, hey, you know, let's, you know, trying to get the conversation back on the furniture and his wife. And And I said, yeah, and I started mentioning, biblical things. And see, he knew me when I was real darkness. And he turns to me and he goes, why, Kevin, have you found religion? And I said, no, I found faith. And he goes, oh, that whole God thing. And he blamed God. God made the women pretty. It's his fault. That's why I have this temptation. I'm like, oh, man. But that's what happens. Now, what I'm saying is people that knew me before I became a Christian know I'm different. It's no question in their mind. This isn't about boasting about Kevin. It's about anybody, I guarantee you, that knew Jay before when he was at college and when he worked at the Anaconda Company in Great Falls? And then saw him 2 or 3 years later after he moved to Bozeman, got this church started, would have went, why, Jay, have you found religion? I guarantee you there'd been a difference. There should be a difference in your life. And it should be noticeable. Ezra set his heart to practice, to study the law, and then practice it. Because he was going to go back and he was going to teach others, and he knew if his example didn't match his word, zero return. Zero return. So again, all kinds of problems that happen in the assemblies when there's, problems with marriages, problems with, I just say, look, who are you? And who's going to do the right thing? It's that simple. Who are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, you sound real excited about that. Really, who are you? I'm a Christian. Who does the right thing? A Christian. Guys, your wife wants to paint the bathroom pink. So what? Is that a hill you're going to die on? Seriously? Because by the time she gets done with you, you're going to be a sieve that won't hold an ounce of liquid. She will cut you. My wife says, what do you think? Is this a nice color? I'm just looking for the hint that tells me which one she likes so I can agree. Now let's get serious. Now let's say you've got a child that you drug out of the public school system and you stuck him in the Christian school system. And this child's 15, 16 years old, very social. Very social. And you drag him out of that and you put him into Christian school with the next person that's close to their age is, say, 3, 4 years younger. You drag him out of that social environment, you put him in, and then the real friction starts in that household. And your wife turns to you and says, well, maybe we can keep her in through her junior year. And then senior year, we'll let her go back to the public school and graduate. You go, no! Now, I tell this, and this happened between my wife and I, and I'm not designed to embarrass her, but this is a true story. That's how much pressure can come into a household when you stand for God, when you stand for all things in reference to Christ and the church. Somebody, man, that's the hill to die on. I'm standing and doing the right thing. Because I remember James says, he who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is sin. I'm standing. Now, that's a real issue. Can be a real issue with people that come into the church with children. Oh, you mean I should take my kids out of public school? You're going to have to make that decision, parent. But you've got to get all the information about what's going on in the public school system and understand that is designed to take your child away from you and make them a ward of the state. And I have personally experienced that. I have shared that story with many of you. Not going to do it today. They own your children when they're in that school. And you better believe it. All right? Now, study. That literally means to tread or frequent, usually to follow. So get in there, tread in the Word of God, and then you can get out here with these and tread that example in the presence of men. Amen? That's what you do. If you believe this is true, it's not just head knowledge, it transforms you. And you'll start to see things happen just like God promised. That's amazing too, huh? Oh, God promised it's going to happen? Yeah, it'll happen. So study. Tread in the Word of God. Put that example out there. And then you want to practice so that you can get that message to people when you get the opportunity to teach it. How late are we? Okay, I've got a few minutes left. Now, Ezra's example in Babylon was so good, it got a pagan king to let him go back to Jerusalem. And he said, pick whoever you want to go with you. Would that be nice? Your boss says, go ahead, take the week off, grab whoever you need, and go ahead on up to Spanish Peaks, you know. And here's the money to do it. That's what the king did with Ezra. And we're going to pay for this thing out of the king's treasury. Oh, by the way, and write a letter to the guys in the provinces on the other side of the river there that not to argue about what I've done. This is what we're going to do. This is a pagan king giving money to help Ezra get the job done. Walk it. Talk it. This was Ezra's example. I loved Stan's message about Nehemiah. He says, I was cupbearer to the king. These are guys that served pagan kings. Daniel, did he serve a few pagan kings? What was his example? How was he appreciated by those pagan kings? What about Job? Good old Joseph in Egypt. You think you can't have an impact on an unbeliever? In your workplace, brethren, with your own example, you can have a tremendous impact on your boss. Your boss. You notice I didn't say your fellow employee. Your boss. Again, I want to ask you, do you believe that? You can. You don't know what's going to happen. I like it when guys I've worked for call me into their office and they start asking me questions, you know, about biblical things, or maybe, you know, of course I'm a conspiratorial kook, so, you know, they got to bring me in and ask me all these questions. But that's how I've developed a very strong relationship with my present employer and boss. I gave him conspiratorial stuff. Now he calls me into the bar, into his office, shuts the door and says, let me tell you what I found now about the conspiracy. It's still kind of, we're still kind of doing the Nick at Night thing, you know. Don't tell anybody. But, you know, this is what happens. You just feed him a little information. Now, I don't know what's going to happen down the road. By the way, this fella asked me to do his wedding. My boss. I was the only guy in the entire plant he invited. Me. To do the wedding. That's how much he trusts me. He doesn't want to have these personal relationships with other employees because he's fearful of what might come of it. I'll just say that. But he trusts me enough. He asked me to marry him and his girlfriend, make him husband and wife. And I'm the guy that gets to do it. And I'm the guy that gets to go in his office, close the door, and we have these conversations. Will it lead to him being saved someday? I don't know, but I'm awful patient. Awful patient. At some point, got to go grab him by the neck and he gets to do the chicken rag too. You know, okay. And who do they come to? They come to the guy who they know they can trust, who studied and walks. And they say, teach me. Has anybody ever come to you and said that to you? It'll happen. If it hasn't, keep going. It'll happen. It's happened to me twice. I'll tell you what, it's very humbling when it happens. And I glorify and give God, you know, all the praise. But I did what He told me to do, and He gave me opportunity. You know, if you develop enough knowledge and you're good at what you do, you know what happens? You don't have to go out and find a lot of your own personal Bible studies, it seems. People will refer you. You get a phone call. Hey, I just met these people. Can you meet with them? I want you to do that. Okay. Now, how does that happen? You study. You show some ability to communicate it. And I believe all you can do this. I believe this. You show some ability to communicate. You got a great example. They know that they can bring you into this Bible study and you're going to do just fine. You're not going to offend anybody. And you're going to communicate that information. Your personal example will lead to people coming to you. Like I said, it happened twice. Terry Sloan when I worked at Collins Furniture and Mike Wojciechowski when I worked at Hart's Furniture. Now, how many of you guys know Mike? I mean, they're not in Billings. Hey, stand up there, crayon head. See? Now, you're a great guy. Katya's okay, too. I still got some Russian stuff I'm trying to get through. But anyway, Katya's wonderful. But Katya and I had some great conversations before she ever met Mike, didn't we, Katya? Her prayers were to meet a godly man, and we were communicating, and then Mike popped up, and then with the help of Jay and others, bingo, Katya's dream was to marry a godly man and make it to America. There's my prayers right there, living proof. You think your prayers aren't answered, brother? Right there. Now, what am I getting at? You can study this, and you should. You can put it into your life, and there's going to come a time when somebody's life is just upside down and all around, and guess who they come to? They're going to come to you. The guy who's been patient, compassionate, merciful, consistent, knowledgeable. They come to you. Mike did. Would you pray for me? You bet. I didn't say, let's make an appointment. We're at work, Mike. Let's make an appointment. Right in the back room we went. And we prayed. We did several times. Brethren, this is what will happen. Now, Ezra wanted to restore the people. So all you guys that get an opportunity to get up front and preach or do an opening or a Lord's Supper or a stewardship, understand what you're doing. You're involved in restoring the people to the Word of God. Now, you may think, oh, they've got it all figured out. Keep doing it. Because the kingdom is important and the knowledge of the Word of God needs to be evident. And the lips of the priest should preserve knowledge and men should want to know it from him. So when you go up front, I want to ask you, do people get on the edge of their seat and go, all right, here comes some good stuff. Shouldn't be their attitude. It's mine when all you guys get up here and preach. I don't lay back in my chair and go, here's a good nap time. Brother, I want to exhort you to know who you are. To know what you've been entrusted with. To change somebody's eternity is the greatest gift you can share with anybody. And they're going to be skeptical when you bring that message because they've been lied to all their lives and they know it. I was. You got to have that information and know how to transfer it. Get them excited about knowing what's coming next. I like to end Bible studies, and I've done it recently with Chris and her sister and brother and in-law, and I say, we'll talk about that next week. We got to have something for you to look forward to. And they do look forward to it. A little tantalizer, throw it out, pull it back. You know, we'll get to that next week. And they actually tell me, geez, we look forward by Tuesday. We look forward to Thursday because we know you're coming over. What great praise. Is this about me? No. It's about what can happen when you handle the Word of God accurately. That's what happens. I don't know how anybody can get up here and preach and not get just super excited and want to start dancing and singing and everything else. I just really don't. I'm not gonna, by the way. I'm not. But brethren, I can't control myself. It's almost like I'm going to go Pentecostal on you. It's just, this is how much this stuff means to me. If you know what it did to my life, what it's really done for me. And it's Lord's Day, brethren. I live for Lord's Day. The assembly of the saints. I love the assembly in Billings. We are excited group and we're not afraid to show it. People get up and preach and there's give and take in the audience. And it's some people I'm sure like, oh, you know, so what? We are in this thing together and we're excited about it. Ezra, I guarantee you, didn't go from Babylon to Jerusalem with a, oh, I got to go do this attitude. I guarantee you, Ezra was, I get to go do this. The hand of the Lord, his God, was upon him. That's a pretty good epitaph. Him and Nehemiah, the only two in the Old Testament that says, you've got something better, brethren. The Spirit of Christ lives in you. What do you want? The hand of the Lord God upon you? That could be bad. Or do you want the Spirit of Christ living in you? That's who you are. Ezra had nothing on you, brethren. He was a foreshadow of you. But you're the real thing, and it was your shadow that cast back in the heavens. You've come to Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God. It's your shadow that was cast back, and we see Ezra, Nehemiah, Joseph, Moses, David. You believe that? It was you that God looked at and said, let's throw this shadow back and see what kind of great characters in the Old Testament we can come up with. Cliff Renner. Whoop! There's Joseph. Of course, we've got to give Jay Moses, right? Jay Wilson, Moses, right? Seriously, guys, think about it from that perspective. Because the church, and I know I'm over now, the church, right, was the real thing. And as been mentioned, the real things are what cast the shadow. Do you ever think that way about the Old Testament characters? That you were the ones that God was bringing into existence, and you cast the shadow back in the Old Testament, and all the Old Testament characters were just a part of you. Switch it around in your mind, start thinking that way. And tell me that ain't going to get you excited about who you are in Christ. All those guys were designed just to get to you. How about all those prophets that longed to know what the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating? And the New Testament says, it was you. And that's what it says. Second letter of Peter, that's what it says. It says it was you. Now, do you just go, oh, man, you don't have the right picture of the Lord, and you don't have the right picture of yourself. Fix it. All right. Brethren, thank you for your attention. Really appreciate it. I do consider this a tremendous privilege to be before you. And I don't need to tell you I'm excited. You guys know I am. But I want you to get excited. I want you to know who you are. I want you to know what your purpose is. I want you to listen to these messages, these guys that come up. Man, they're important. And do you understand who you are? You're the pillar and the support of the truth. We're the only ones speaking the truth out there, brethren. We are. And that's not a boastful statement. That's a true one. You know who you are? Do you hear him up in heaven saying, who are you? Who? I really want to know. Who are you? Who? That was the angels and the prophets. And the congregation said that it was us. And we said to the august assembly in heaven, amen! Can I hear an amen? Amen! It's who you are. Thank you for your attention.